The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in education into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
Welcome to Dueling Reviews, a show where two guys sit down with one comic and we talk about it in depth, along with some other things. I'm Steven Schleicher. Thanks for joining us this week. As always, there is Matthew Peterson. Hi, Matthew.
Hello.
So this week, we are diving into a comic that is, or a character that is well over 100 years old.
Yeah, like 114.
1905 is when Little Nemo first appeared
so
in the pages of, I believe, the pages of the New York Times, if I remember correctly.
I was thinking of the Yellow Kid in 1899.
New York Herald is when October 15th, 1905, is when Little Nemo made his first adventures into Slumberland. This was done by Winsor McKay, and I don't know if you know a lot about Winsor McKay. I did a lot of I've taught animation classes before, and so when we talk about the history of motion graphics, Winsor McKay often comes up mainly from the animation side and the things that he did with Gertie the Dinosaur and a lot of the experimental stuff that he did early on. And, of course, in 1911, he took his comic strip character, Little Nemo, and took him to a 4,000-frame animated adventure of Nemo, all hand-drawn by Winsor McKay.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. So it is pretty cool. Some other things that are really kind of impressive are the fact that Winsor McKay used an art style that was not really – I mean, it was starting to become known at the time – Art Nouveau, and his attention to detail and everything just really made this comic strip stand out. That and the fact that the comic strip was one full page of the New York Herald and it was completely in color.
I don't know if that falls under the heading of the Art Nouveau, but he was doing things that I equate kind of with what Will Eisner would do 40 years later.
Yeah.
Breaking up the panels and using the borders and using the actual language of comic strips to do things that no one had ever done before and kind of breaking all the rules. And
I mean, really breaking the rules. Like if the panel needed to be long and thin, he would make it tall and thin. If it needed to be something that spilled across the entire page and you told it with the character in multiple positions on the page, even though there were no frame borders, that's how it would be done.
Yep.
Somewhere
if he needed to smash the borders or smash the panel frames for a joke, he would do that.
Somewhere in the Nerd Room of Doom, I have one of these early collections of Little Nemo in Slumberland.
Really?
And it's actually, I think IDW put it out. It's actually the same size as the newspaper strip. So it's a huge book.
Oh, my word.
Yeah, it's not every one. It's like, I want to say 2 or 3 years worth, maybe 100 pages, if that.
When I was a kid, the Mitchell County Library was actually housed in what was essentially an old house. And if you went down the stairs and around the corner and back under the stairwell, there was a little hidden room that was full of things. And they had SEX books in there, but they also had big bound volumes with Little Nemo and some of the other stuff.
Yeah.
And Crazy Cat as well, I remember loving. But when you would read Nemo in the original news, and I don't know if they were bound newspapers or reprints.
They probably were. They were probably bound newspapers because if they were the full size of a newspaper, I think IDW is the only one that's done it in that size or close to that size, or whoever the company was that published it. I'm almost positive it's IDW.
That sounds right, because I think IDW within the last 5 years has been like doing the thing that they did with Charles Schulz, where eventually they're going to try and put all of it together.
Well, that's Fantagraphics that did the Charles Schulz stuff. They were also the ones, I'm pretty sure, well, maybe Fantagraphics is the ones behind the Popeye collection as well, the big
Who's
collections
doing the
of
Bloom
Popeye.
County? I'm doing the Bloom County.
That one may be IDW. Yeah, IDW is doing Bloom County.
Okay. I thought that IDW, that it was the same one because it's a very similar.
No. IDW has Bloom County Complete Library. Peanuts is Fantagraphics.
Right.
And let me just, I'm pretty sure Popeye collection is IDW Publishing as well.
Those a year at a time Peanuts strips are fascinating.
Yeah, that is very fascinating to read. Yeah, IDW Shops Popeye, there you go. Nice. And then let me see, I'm pretty sure that they had the Little Nemo collection years ago. It's, you know, it doesn't really matter because what we're here to talk about today is Little Nemo returns. Return to Slumberland, number one. This is written by Eric Schanauer, who has done the adaptations of the Oz comics for Marvel. And the art is done by Gabriel Rodriguez, who many people who listen to the Major Spoilers podcast know because I rave about his art that he was doing with Lock and Key. So if you are familiar with Lock and Key and the fantastic detailed art that Gabriel Rodriguez does, you know what's coming in Return to Slumberland. And it's perfect, too. And I think this is a great artist to tap onto this because the detail that Rodriguez puts into his art in just Lock and Key is super heightened in Return to Slumberland.
And what's really interesting to me as a reader who's known the work of Schanauer for a while, Rodriguez seems to have a Schanauer touch in this book, too. I mean, there's little bits of it, and I'm like, wait, I thought Eric was doing the writing, but some of these things, you know, it's clearly him, and some of it is clearly I'm doing Winsor McKay. But there are moments in here where I'm like, are you intentionally tweaking your writer's nose and drawing in his style? Because that's awesome.
Well, yeah. I mean, just from the very first page, when you see this ultra detailed palace of Morpheus, the Slumber King, the King of Slumberland, and you just see all the little detail.
Sandman.
Yeah.
You know him.
Yes.
Looks
exactly.
like the lead singer of Joy Division wears a black outfit.
Yeah. But there are times, if I was going to have one critique of Rodriguez's art, is Nemo. Who's not really Nemo. So in this story, Nemo has gone away and used to have adventures with the Princess of Slumberland. And ever since he left, she's never been able to sleep right. And all the other people that they bring to her just don't work out. And so then they find this little kid named Jimmy Nemo Neutron. I don't know what his last name is.
Yes, James Nemo Neutron. You're what?
Oh, I'm sorry. James Nemo Summerton is his name. Sorry.
I'm thinking that he is somehow related to Nemo of 1905.
It would be interesting. It would be interesting Nemo's if that's like his great-grandfather or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, Nemo at times in this book looks like the youngest kid from the Lock and Key series.
He does. And I think that is kind of, for me, something that I can forgive.
Yeah.
Because it's not so much that he looks like him. It's the way that Rodriguez does certain facial expressions, like when they're first walking and he's walking with Popcorn the Emissary.
Yes.
He's got his hands out and he's got this look like, what's wrong with you people?
Yeah.
That's more what I consider to be kind of the quote unquote acting.
Yes, exactly.
That Rodriguez puts in his character.
Yeah. In fact, that was the first time that it popped up to me that I was like, oh, that looks like Bodhi from Lock and Key.
Very much a Bodhi kind of face there.
But so the art is fantastic. I mean, it is ultra highly detailed, and I mean just little things you don't think would be pay attention to, that's in this book. I mean, one of my biggest complaints with comic book artists is when they go the cheap route out and they just fill the background with a solid color. Rodriguez doesn't even get the chance to do that here because every panel is filled with forest or cloud monsters or chocolate monsters or just something different in every panel, and I love that.
Even the scenes in Nemo's bedroom,
they
have the texture of the carpet and the texture of the bedspread. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're really taking the stuff that McKay did 100 years ago. That's so strange to say, by the way.
Yeah.
But they're taking the stuff where 100 years ago these things happened. And all of a sudden, you know, it, just extrapolating that into a more modern setting, but doing the same things.
Yeah. And that's what I like that about the art. And I like that about the story. So there are times where, like when the bed turns into a sled, they go ahead and they warp the panels to adapt to that so that it's sliding downhill.
And then he falls off. And the thing that's really great is there are moments in here because I remember The thing that I remember about Little Nemo more than anything is Nemo's dialogue.
Yeah.
Sounding so antiquated. Oh, mama. Oh, whatever shall I do?
Yes.
And they don't do that here. But every time he crashes back to Earth, and he does this a couple of times, he wakes up from his dream. He always wakes up and he, as he's waking up, sounds like Little Nemo. A dream. That's all it was.
Yeah. Or I'm okay, mom. I just fell out of bed. Or father, I'm all right. I fell out of bed. So the art style is a nice nod to what McKay did. But of course this is total Gabriel Rodriguez stuff, and it's wonderful.
Yeah. And then of course the second emissary is made of candy.
Yeah.
And I thought, are they going to do it? Because one of the other things that McKay would do is he did not coddle his readers. Children or no children, he would occasionally do things that were terrifying. And when the monster leaps up and bites off his candy legs,
yes,
I'm like, oh my God.
Well, just
I started thinking how accurate that is to what Winsor McKay would do.
Well, just even the fact that the cloud monsters are picking off the hat, breaking it off and eating it, and they're licking the little kid is pretty creepy in itself. And that's where Schanauer deserves a lot of credit, because I don't want to use the term ape as a pejorative, as a negative here, because really what I'm saying is Schanauer is aping McKay as Rodriguez is aping McKay, and they do it in a way that is an homage to what he's done, and it is wonderful.
It's respectful, and it shows its influences on its sleeve, and it's wonderful.
Yeah, so
and that the last panel, the big or not the last the panel,
double page spread,
the big double page spread where he's falling with his bedspread, and you see that huge
the Palace of Slumberland. Yeah,
yeah, it is. I looked at that and I was just like, how long did he work?
I don't know. The guy is incredible.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Yeah, it
is. That's McKay. That's architectural. That's gorgeous.
Yeah.
And it's really intricate and really detailed and just amazing.
I mean, if you zoom in, and I'm reading this on the Comixology on my iPad, I am zooming in super, super, super far. And the you can see people in the far courtyard. Now, you can't make out their faces, but they look like people. And that little attention to detail, and each one of them is colored. Three are red, four are blue. I mean, that is attention to detail that you wouldn't normally see in a regular comic book or any other comic book that you would find. So
the coloring in that sequence, by the way, deserves
freaking A, man,
because that's beautiful.
It is awesome. I mean, I don't know. It, you know, just going to Nemo's room, like you said, who would want to draw the pinstriped wainscoting on the wall and then make sure that matches the bedspread. And then when you're talking about a checkered quilt, it is a diagonal checkered quilt, or a diagonal diamond quilt, not a checkered quilt. And that every panel he's paying attention to how the folds of the cloth affect the shape of the, of the pattern. And God dang, IDW, you have done a fantastic job of pairing a great writer and a great artist together. And, I probably should mention who the colorist is. I think he's the colorist. Yeah. It's just a, Nelson Daniel.
Oh, yes. Nelson Daniel definitely deserves a round of applause, because if you have to go in and color something, that first sequence in the Morpheus's throne room.
Yeah.
The background guys each have individual hats and coloring inches. You would have to break this down and go bit by bit, and none of it ever falls into that let's just stick a solid color on it and be done with it.
Oh yeah, wait a minute, do I see, oh my God, I don't know if you can zoom in, but over by the beginning, the capital T by the throne room, zoom in all the way and you have found Waldo sitting up there in the do you see that?
That's beautiful.
That is great.
And that, wonderful. A plus right there, guys.
Yeah. Well, oh, my God. I just caught that on that second time. But, I mean, you know, there's hippo people, and there's a blob people, and there's knights, and there's, I mean, aliens and ostrich peoples. And
And I will say this. I have in the past complained about digital comics and said that I don't like them and blah, blah, blah. And
yeah.
I've complained specifically about the Guided View.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I read this issue, Comixology, Guided View,
mm-hmm.
and it was a really fun experience. The Guided View gave me what I needed to know, and then you could, you know, it did the thing where it would move in and out, mm-hmm. and it would show me
mm-hmm.
panels, and it would break it down. I didn't have the problem that I have sometimes with digital comics of, oh, that's too small.
Right.
It brings it to the forefront, and then it zooms out to show me the full picture.
Yeah.
And the sequence where Nemo's bedspread shoots out into infinity,
mm-hmm.
you push that and you're on the guided view and you see it, and then it pans to the right slowly.
Yeah. Yeah, so that you can see the Popcorn is talking about or whatever his name is. Yeah.
Popcorn and then Bonbon.
Yeah.
Which, again, you know, I think that the hardest sell really is going to be whether someone of a modern sensibility is going to look at Bonbon the Candy Boy and say that that's too silly.
No, I think that modern audiences are versed enough in Crazy Town comics. I mean, Grant Morrison's Multiversity comes out this week.
That's
so if
true.
People can handle that, I think they can handle Little Nemo Return to Slumberland.
Yeah, we were going to review that, but
Chris jumped in there.
Wilson!
Listen, I know Multiversity is probably going to be the most read and talked about comic this week,
yep.
but the most underrated comic, the comic that you should be picking up, the comic that you have to read this week, whether it be digital, which I really like the vibrant colors and the guided view in yes. digital, whether it be the digital version or the print version, it has to be Little Nemo, Return to Slumberland by Schanauer and Rodriguez and Daniels. This is by far, I was going into this going, I hope this isn't a real crappy take,
right.
you know, a retelling of.
I was afraid that it was going to be archaic. Like, you know, we sometimes yes. complain about, here's a story of the shadow and it's being set at a point where, you know, the pulp tropes are there, but we're also, it's so self-aware.
Yeah.
And that's not what we got here. This is actually not just a loving tribute, but a fun story.
Well,
itself.
And it's and if you think about it, the way it's set up and told, it is a sequel to the original Nemo series.
It is. And he inflates like a big giant
beanpole. Yep. Yep.
Which is a nice legion of superheroes.
I say thumbs up, go get this comic.
I say it too. And, you know, sometimes when we agree, I feel like I should fight you just for, you know, the sake
you
of
can. Argument. I was going to look up something really quick because I think that there is one thing that kind of, it's a $4 book.
Mm-hmm.
If you get it in the digital version, which sounds like we both did,
yes.
It's worth it because there's a whole section in the back that gives you a little history of Nemo, but then it has a bonus art gallery where it shows you the script and it shows you the blue pencils before the inking that Rodriguez did. And I think that little extra touch is worth the extra dollar. But $3.99 is still kind of pushing it for me.
The thing
as
about
far as
it
price
is when
point
you're
goes.
Looking at an IDW book, most of IDW's books yeah. are at that price point.
Yeah, I understand.
You know,
I understand.
But
I was just today it was really odd. I was just thinking today that I would probably be buying and reading more comics if they weren't so dadgum expensive. I mean, I can go right now, go see a movie matinee and it costs me $5.
Really?
And that's 2 hours of entertainment. That's the matinee here at our place. They do it relatively cheap. I mean, I can even go during prime time and it's only like $8 for a ticket.
Well, I guess when Widget and I went to see Guardians of the Galaxy in 3D, it was $20.
Yeah. So $10 a piece, something like that.
Yeah.
So
that's with the 3D. So.
Yeah. So you figure without the 3D, knock off $2-3. So it's $5 to $7 per person. But
yeah.
at $5, I can sit and watch Guardians of the Galaxy for 2.5 hours or however long that movie is. 2 hours.
2 hours and 7 minutes.
A $4 comic, doesn't matter which publisher we're talking about. And it could become that, you know, $4.99 or $3.99 is the new standard. But I mean, it took me 15 minutes to read this book, even going into all the little details and admiring and marveling.
Yeah.
I mean, you really have to love something.
I mean, IDWing.
IDW, yes. So I don't know. It's just, I don't know. I just really had to pause today and really consider because I turned in my comic book orders yesterday and I just had to really sit there and go, wow, do I really want to spend $3.50 for this comic? Do I really want to spend $4 for this comic? Do I really want to spend $8 for this extra sized bonus issue?
And that, you know, that's where you're getting to the point where I really think that for the last few years, they have been seeing what the market will bear, and the market will bear $3.99.
Yeah.
I don't know if the market will bear $3.99 as the base point and $4.99 as the premium book. But
I wouldn't. I mean, if the base went, I mean, if the base price went $3.99 across the board,
yeah,
and $4.99 is what Marvel took on as their stuff, I really would have to just say, well, if you want to send me a review copy to talk about, I'll be happy to take it, but I can't afford to buy it. Now, Little Nemo, I did buy this. In addition to the review copy that IDW sent us, I did buy the Comixology version because the review copies all have a watermark stamp on it. And with this work, you don't want to read a big IDW circle right in the middle of your page. So this
is why they do it.
This is a book that's worth $3.99. I would be happier if it was a $3.50 book.
Yeah,
I'd be happy if it was a $2.75 book.
I'd be happy if it was a buck and a quarter like comics were when we were kids. But, you know, if a frog had wings, he wouldn't bump his behind when he hopped either.
No, he probably still would because he enjoys the masochistic tendencies of kicking his own ass. So, and very much like those of us who continue to drop $4 on a comic book.
Hey, look what we did there.
Dark Horse Comics next week has Baltimore Witch of Harju number 2.
That's Gesundheit.
Hey, what is it related to comic books, your little rant today about people mispronouncing names?
No, actually. Okay. One of the people that I answer for, her last name is Haji Zadeh.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And it's spelled exactly the way you would expect Haji Zadeh to sound. But people are like, Haji Zadeh or whatever.
And yeah,
You can't even make an effort to try. That's okay.
My wife's name, people can't. I mean, hers is the simplest name, C-H-A-D-A, and they still can't pronounce it. So whatever.
How can you not pronounce that?
Charday. She gets Charday a lot, which is just like, whatever.
I like Charday. She sang that song.
Also coming out next week from Dark Horse Comics, Captain Midnight number 14. Conan the Avenger, number 5. Hey, Conan the Avenger.
Joining the Avengers?
I cannot wait for him to fight Ultron this summer.
Wow. You know, Disney's got all their properties under one roof, baby.
Oh, I did see that Condé Nast was sold, or portions of it were sold off this week. So, you know, I'd have to go back and look. But
one of the six companies that control all?
Yeah, I'd have to go back and look. But, I mean, if you were, I don't think. Let's see if I can find it really quick.
So you can go and you can have a Taco Bell Kentucky Fried Chicken Condé Nast.
Oh, no, they only sold part of it. Condé Nast to sell Fairchild Fashion Media for $100 million.
Wow. If I had $100 million, I totally wouldn't do that.
And that's just a portion of their company. That's their that is the Women's Wear Daily, Footwear News, and Penske Media. $100 million. Are they sold it to Penske Media for $100 million?
Shoes and pants are now under the Penske.
Holy crap, man.
Wow. Penske, I used to read their Hot Rod magazine and VW and Porsche magazine.
Yeah, those are great.
Yeah. And VW's in them.
Back to comics not owned by Condé Nast.
All right.
Goon versus Conan number 2 comes out next week.
Is Legend- Conan crossing over with everybody now?
Well, we did the Gru versus Conan number 1.
Oh, you said Goon versus Conan.
No. Gru versus Conan.
I thought it was Eric Powell's The Goon versus Conan. I'm like, yeah, I'd read that.
Well, interesting you mention that because next week also features Goon Occasion of Revenge number 2. Ooh. And then Massive number 26, Pariah number 7, Pop number 1, Sin City Playing Cards, second edition of Playing Cards.
Sin City Playing Cards. I love that story.
Man, it is. I don't know what it is.
Where Barb loses at poker.
You know, sometimes I have trouble reading these things from this distance.
It may be your vision.
Yeah, but you know, I'm reading it fine, and yet I wanted to go get my driver's license renewal today, and I almost failed the vision test because I couldn't make out the regular line of text, which isn't much bigger than what I'm seeing here on the page now.
4PQNN.
No. It's all numbers. It was all numbers.
Oh wow.
Yeah, I had to go through it like 3 times. She's like, this is your last chance. And I was like, crap. But I got my driver's license, so I'll be able to drive my kids to school and continue to drive Matthew up the wall. Waka, waka, waka.
You don't need a license for that.
DC Comics now, next week.
Historically, you didn't even need a car.
DC Comics next week, Adventures of Superman, number 16, All-Star Western 34. I thought that that series got canceled.
Me too.
Aquaman 34, Batman Superman, number 13, Bodies, number 2.
You need to review All-Star Western, number 34.
It's been a long time since I've read that series. Let's see. Flash 34. Harley
He'll
Quinn.
Every one of us.
Harley Quinn number 10. New 52 Futures End number 17. Sinestro number 5. Superman 34. Let's see. IDW Publishing 24 number 5. Seventh Sword number 4. Ghostbusters number 19. Godzilla Rulers of the Earth number 15. Mars Attacks Deluxe Edition hardcover. That's $40 right there. Star Trek, The City on the Edge of Forever, number 3, comes out. The Last Fall, number 1, second printing, and number 2, first printing.
It's not fall yet.
It is the last fall. I think I read that the other day.
Or maybe The Last West. Or maybe Tommy West.
Oh, you know, the new issue of the Last West is out today as well. It's on digital.
Is it?
Yeah, it's the issue number 6. It's over there at Comixology. I know the creators... We're very excited and very interested about what we talked about when we went in depth on the Major Spoilers podcast about that series. And they're like, we cannot wait for you guys to finish reading this series, because they weren't offended by anything we had to say. They were not. They also didn't reveal anything. So they didn't say who was right and who was wrong in that long discussion.
Did they point out that one of us might be right and that one would be me?
No, they said it was an interesting discussion. We're not going to tell you how it ends. You're just going to have to read it for yourself. But they really, you know, they, from the messages that I saw in the tweets that I saw, they were very positive over all the varying different points of view, even when we were getting testy with one another. So
you're testy.
Yeah. Image Comics has Cowl number 4, Dream Police number 4.
Inside your head.
Invincible Profile black T-shirt.
Yeah, that's the one that has the profile of Invincible. About that.
Oh, okay. Low number 2.
Profiling is a bad point.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. Mice Templar 4 Legends number 13.
You can't pull somebody over claiming that they are clearly a Viltrumite because of their mustache.
Mustache. Cheesy mustache. Poor Freddie
Poor
Mercury.
Mustache. Yeah.
Saga number 22. Sex number 15. Spawn number 246. All coming out next week. Just some of the comics coming out next week from Image Comics.
40.
Yep. Six. Think about that. 246.
Well, it's been 25 years, hasn't it? No, not quite. 23 years. 1991.
Well, you want to go even further than that. You know, Rob Liefeld has launched an app.
An app?
On the I think it's the iTunes.
Rob Liefeld took an app.
Yeah, it's on the iPhone, I believe. Uh-huh. And what has it got in it? In addition to centralizing all of Liefeld's social media presence, a schedule of upcoming convention appearances and a brief biography are also there, as well as a gallery of art from his long and somewhat controversial career, including stuff from Marvel, DC, and Image.
Oh, the Liefeld app.
Yeah.
Well, next time I want to poke myself in the eye with a sharp stick, I have an option.
And I was going to see how much it is. Let's see. Launch this in the iTunes store. And the it's free. You can get the Liefeld app for free. You don't even have to pay to have it.
Well, that's good. At that price,
it's all teeth and pouches and belts.
14 molar, 7 pouches, and a shoulder pad that'll put your eye out.
But people can go check out the Liefeld app over on the iTunes store.
Yeah. Remind me to show you the picture I drew once of Rob Liefeld's great aunt.
Okay.
It's Aunt May with shoulder pads and pouches and gritted teeth.
Marvel Comics next week, all new Invaders number 9, all new X-Men number 31, all new Ultimates number 7.
Can it be all new when they're at issue 31? 3 years in, I don't know if you can still claim all new.
Apparently you can.
Well, no.
So did you see, the big controversy came out yesterday. I don't know if you saw this or not. Maybe you did, because we have the Marvel November solicitations over at the Major Spoilers website right now. You can go in there and look at them.
I did see that.
And we talked somewhat at length after the San Diego Comic-Con over on the Major Spoilers podcast about the upcoming Spider-Woman series and how we're very excited and how we were very excited about the Spider-Woman series, just another standalone female character and the things that are gone in there. My hesitation was that Greg Land was going to be doing all the art. And we know Greg Land has done a lot of porn tracing and those kinds of things.
Right.
Well, apparently there is a variant cover for this that comes out, and it's done by none other than Milo Manara. And for those of you who have listened to Matthew and I talk at length about some of his stuff, we've done it on the Major Spoilers podcast. We've done it on Dueling Reviews. We've done it in a number of different places. You know that Milo Manara over in Europe does a lot of sexy comics. And by sexy comics, I mean people getting it on comics. And if you want me to say it even further, somewhat pornographic comics, if you want to go that far. And so they released a variant cover for Spider-Woman number one. The cover is by Milo Manara.
And by Manara standards,
by his, it's pretty much typical of what you expect from Milo Manara.
Yeah,
that's why it's not a surprise that she's been over and things are going up her butt with her costume and all of that stuff. And it's basically as people have pointed out, it's basically a nude woman painted red.
Right.
And then some people have pointed out and said, well, this pose looks familiar, here's one from one of his European comics. I guess people use European comics as adult sex comics.
Well, to some degree, that's true. But of course,
this has everybody up in arms because of the pose, the nature of the artwork. I'm fine with Manara with the stuff that he does. I think he's okay with. I think he does a good job with what he does. This variant cover, I'm not overly enthusiastic about, mainly because of the face and the neck and some other things that are going on. The pose is probably, especially with the spandex doing what the spandex is doing, is probably a little bit too much, in my opinion. But I'm sure some people are going to get at it. And of course, everybody's going nuts on this. And I'm trying to figure out, is Marvel trying to troll fans? Is Marvel trying to just, intentionally do this? Because here they're like, hey, here's a standalone female comic. And the art is done by Greg Land with a variant cover by Milo Manara.
I think they're trying to hedge their bets. I think what Marvel is doing here is giving us a title and saying, here's a book for if you want a strong female character, if you want this, this woman, if you want whatever you want. But we're also going to make sure that it doesn't alienate the boys club by giving us the super hot Manarian.
By alienating the female reading contingent.
See, and that's where they are. That's why I think they're intentionally trolling both sides.
Because they could have gotten anybody else to do art on this series. They could have gotten anybody else to do a variant cover for this series.
Yeah.
But they chose these two specifically for this book.
Since she has come back in
Put Humberto Ramos on this.
In 2000 what? 2003? Do not put Humberto Ramos on
I don't know where they had her.
Keep Humberto Ramos away from Jessica
Jones. No, I'm just saying.
They have hypersexualized Spider-Woman since they brought her back.
Well, hasn't that always been the case with her character? I'm not really familiar with it, but I have seen a lot of people saying that I don't want to say portray her as hypersexualized, that her character is very sexual on her character.
Since they revamped her in the original comics, she did have a pheromone power that made people like her.
Ah, okay.
What that means in the modern day is that she uses the pheromone powers. And in New Avengers, they had this whole bit where she, walked down a staircase in her skin tight suit. So I look at this and I'm thinking,
didn't she and Tony Stark used to be sleeping together?
No, you're thinking of She-Hulk.
Oh, okay.
But I look at this cover and I don't find it particularly attractive.
No, I don't either.
I don't think that it's sexual enough to be a super sexual cover, but I don't think that it's quite superhero-y enough for me to like it as a superhero cover. It literally looks like somebody traced a Spider-Woman costume.
Yes, on a naked person.
On a still from something else that Milo drew.
Yeah. Yeah, and that somebody has gone out and said, here's a panel that looks very, very much almost exactly like this, where a woman is exposing her backside to the public and basically saying that's what's happening here. And I can understand everybody's anger and frustration, but it just feels like Marvel is pulling a Gail Simone and trolling people intentionally.
It could be. I don't think that's the case. I think, honestly, they are trying to serve everyone, and what they're really doing is serving everyone poorly.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know who's doing the regular cover.
I think Land.
Oh, it is Land doing the regular cover. I actually don't mind. If I had to pick between the two covers, I would pick the Land cover over this one. That's just my preference. Yeah. But if you look at the face, I mean, her face is super flat. The nose is super small. The lips are super deformed. It's just not a flattering cover. I guess that's the point. Hypersexualized or not, it's just not a very good cover. That's just my opinion. People can send me hate mail or whatever they want.
Well, they will.
I'm sure they will. So I just thought that was an interesting little thing that popped up over the last couple of days, yep, among many other things that have popped up.
Marvel and Bernard has been doing variants for Marvel.
Exactly. Who was the one that did the, I keep bringing this up all the time. Remember when it was Heroes for Hire and it was the all female cover? I think it was Heroes for Hire.
Yeah.
Who was the artist on that cover where they were all, it was the bondage tentacle porn cover?
I know the interiors were done by Clay Mann, mm-hmm, because I remember his name.
I thought it was a female artist who did the cover of that.
I want to say you're right, and it may have been like Andrea DeVito or something. That was like 7 years ago.
Yeah, I know. Oh, it's the cover for Heroes for Hire number 13.
Number 13.
Yeah.
And it was drawn by a person with a hat on. I don't see the name.
No, I don't see it either. This.
Oh. Well,
it's funny, yeah, though. Do you know how I searched for this? What came up? It was Heroes for Hire.
Sana Takeda.
Yes. Heroes for Hire sexy cover is what I put in the search term. And that's what popped up. And it was the very first one, the one that I was looking for. It didn't have the person's name. Now, do you know about this artist for that cover?
Sana Takeda? Yeah. I'm not familiar with the name right off the top of my head. No.
Oh, okay.
Other than he or she drew the sexy, sexy cover of Heroes for Hire.
What's the last name?
Takeda. Takeda. She is a female artist.
Yeah, that's the thing that was really surprising about that.
Japanese.
Yeah.
She's apparently doing the cover art for Ms. Marvel.
Interesting.
The interiors for Ms. Marvel as well.
Yeah, cool.
Oh, wait, that's a previous volume of Ms. Marvel. I was thinking it was the...
Yeah, the current one.
Yeah, the
Well, she got a lot of people riled up, too, with that cover 7 years ago.
It happens.
Yeah, I think it's something that's going to continue to happen.
I can see both sides of this, because I agree with what Dan Slott tweeted.
About...
If you have an artist who works in a particular style and with a particular subject matter, that's what they're going to draw. And I think that that's a valid point, but I think the greater point is not Milo Manara is bad for drawing a cover that looks like a Milo Manara.
No.
Why is Marvel having Milo Manara on this book?
Right.
What's the point?
Right.
Super sexy girl.
That was the whole point of why is Greg Land on here? Why is Milo Manara on here when both have those styles of porn tracing and adult natured comics? Why do you have that on a comic that you're trying to promote? A female lead.
Yep. Well, Greg Land, of course, has those nude photos of Joe Quesada, which mean that he will get work forever.
Yeah. I've said all I can say on that. I mean, people can decide what they want. I did think that Dan Slott was a little, maybe a little wrong in the tweet that I retweeted.
I think he was disingenuous.
Yeah. Where basically he was saying, hey, this is a, I forget the exact quote, so I want to paraphrase here, so I don't want to get in trouble with this. But basically, he was saying, hey, this is a variant cover. It's a hard-to-get variant cover. It means that the comic book reader has to ask for it, and the comic shop owner has to order it. And my guess is it's a 1 in 50 or something like that.
I think it's probably like a 1 in 50 or a 1 in 25. I'm not sure what orders are like on it.
Yeah.
Pre-orders for this.
Yeah. So, anyway. I just thought that may have been a little, as you said, maybe a little disingenuous, but whatever. It was a fascinating conversation to watch. Twitter is full of fascinating conversations each and every day. Some of them, Matthew, get way out of control, especially when you're trying to communicate an idea in 140 characters or less in asynchronous delivery method.
An anarcho-synchronous commune.
I think that's
help,
the I think
help,
that's
I'm
the
being repressed.
I think that's the biggest problem.
Disagree, yeah.
And then there are some people that I'm just like, I cannot believe that person said that kind of instances, but whatever.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, everybody has their own idea of what is and isn't appropriate.
Yes, exactly.
And, you know, sometimes you say things and I'm like, ooh, and then you explain what you're saying and I'm like, oh, well, that makes perfect sense now.
Yeah.
But for a moment I was like, Steven, what?
Also out of next week from Marvel Comics, Cyclops number 4, Deadpool versus Carnage trade paperback, Fantastic Four number 9, Inhuman number 4, Jessica Jones Pulse complete collection trade paperback. I don't know what that is about.
The Pulse.
What is the Pulse?
You remember the Pulse?
No.
The Pulse was the book that followed up Alias. Jessica Jones was in Alias, and then they brought her into the mainstream Marvel universe. That's the book where they first put Norman Osborn in jail.
Ah, okay.
Where they had that sequence where Norman Osborn threatened Jessica Jones,
mm-hmm.
and Jessica went into hiding, and we had the moment where Luke Cage walked out into the middle of the street, picked up Osborn's limousine, and held it over his head.
Yeah. I remember that scene. I
made Luke Cage mad.
Silver Surfer number 5, Thunderbolts number 30, Wolverine number 12, Wolverine and the X-Men number 8, all coming out from Marvel next week in the And the Rest selection.
Are here on Gilligan's Isle.
Alien Legion Uncivil War number 3 comes out from Titan Comics. Attack on Titan, the graphic novel volume 13 comes out for people that are into that.
If that's your thing.
It is such a different thing. Have you watched it?
Yeah.
It is gory. It is disturbing.
Yeah,
it's about these naked giants. It takes place in a weird, like, steampunky post-apocalyptic world where these giant roaming dumb giants roam around eating humans. Eating normal people. And so they're picking them up and you're seeing them getting bit in half and flung around and blood spurting everywhere. It's pretty graphic. But at the same time, there's this kid that can turn into a Titan, which he may be the key to humanity's survival.
Interesting.
It's on Netflix right now. You can go watch it. Watch the first episode and it'll probably freak you out. Bee and Puppy Cat number 3 comes out next week. Oh, I think it may freak you out. Oh, fans of Bob's Burgers. Bob's Burgers number 1 comes out. I think that is from Boom Studios.
Hey, guess what we're reviewing next week?
Is it Bravest Warriors number 23?
Bob's Burgers number 1. I'm putting it in.
I'll give it a shot, but I'll tell you right now, I'm not a big fan.
The thing about that show, though,
I like watched the first 2 episodes and I just was like, eh.
It's Tina that sells that show.
Yeah.
Tina sells that show for me. So, yes. But Bob's Burgers.
Flash Gordon number 5 out next week. Haunted number 4.
Savior of the universe.
Hero Cats number 1.
His savior of one of us.
His favorites graphic novel. I don't know what that's about. It's a mature reader's.
His favorites.
It's a mature reader's book.
Mature.
3 of them. 2, 5, and 6 volumes coming out.
Turns out we are immature readers. We don't know.
Kang and Kodos number 1. That's got to be from Bongo Comics.
Okay, I'll read that.
Mega Man number 40. That's from Archie Comics. Regular Show number 14. Say I Love You graphic novel volume 3. Steam Engine of Oz, the complete collected hardcover volume 1. That's a $30 book. And let's see if there's anything else that really pops out in these last couple of ones. Turok Dinosaur Hunter Trade Paperback Volume 1, Conquest, $17. And WWE Superstars Ongoing Number 7, Brother.
Brother.
So those are the books coming out next week. I'll give Bob's Burgers a chance.
Well,
I'll give it a shot.
That or WWE Superstars. Woo!
Now you listen to me, Brother.
See, the problem is
snap into a Slim Jim.
WWE Superstars had a primary role for CM Punk, who is no longer with the company. But he's also one of the major players in WWE 2K15, the new upcoming game.
Oh, really?
But he's no longer with the company. Also, Alberto Del Rio, who was just fired this last week. It works in that when he signed a contract that said he had, they gave him likeness rights and could use him and stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So he's, I mean, he's screwed either way. I mean, he can't even go by CM Punk anymore.
He actually can go by CM Punk, as far as I know. Some guys can't. I know that when the Dudley Boys left the WWE, they had to change their name.
Yeah.
But Alberto Del Rio, for instance,
uh-huh.
who just got fired, can still go by Alberto.
Huh. I know that there's a certain adult film performer who has to, who, I don't know what's going on with her. She keeps flipping her name back and forth from her stage name. It happens about once for about 3 weeks every 2 or 3 years. She flips back and forth from her stage name to her regular name because she does not own her stage name. The company owns her stage name. And when they have to go through contract negotiations, she like loses the name, which is weird because it wouldn't, I don't know. To me, that's weird. To if there was another CM Punk that jumped up into the ring and said, "No, I'm CM Punk," and people are like, "No, you're not." Yeah, yeah. Look, CM Punk TM. That's my name.
They did that though in 1995 or 96 when Scott Hall and Kevin Nash left the Federation for WCW.
Yeah,
they still owned Razor Ramon and Diesel, so they hired two guys, one of whom is actually now known as Kane.
Hmm.
To pretend to be Hall and Nash,
to be Wolverine's son.
Yes, to be Wolverine's son. No, to be fake Diesel.
Oh, okay.
Fake Diesel, not real Diesel. Big Daddy Cool Diesel.
I'm confused.
Okay. Well, you know how there's wrestling?
Yeah.
Okay. Kevin Nash is the guy who's like 7 feet tall, and he's got a big barrel chest and spindly chicken legs.
If you say so.
Yeah. Spindly chicken legs, by the way, is
that's my high school wrestling
band. Vampire. That's my Vampire Weekend cover band.
Have you read Multiversity yet? Have you been able to pick it up yet?
I picked it up. I haven't read it.
Oh, okay.
All right.
I've got it here on the Comixology.
I have been creating content for MajorSpoilers.com.
There you go. You can, ladies and gentlemen, you can find all sorts of things over there at MajorSpoilers.com. Including stories about Dynamite Entertainment announcing DRM-free digital comics in the near future. No word on if this is going to show up on Comixology or not. The person I reached out to is on vacation, so we'll find out next week on that, I'm sure.
Booyaka, booyaka.
You can go check out Assassin's Creed ACBC. A fan film on the new...
I don't know what
Assassin's Creed series. It's Assassin's Creed back in the Stone Age. So like your weapon that you develop is a pointy stick.
Assassin's Creed.
Assassin's Creed ACBC. You know the video game, right?
Da-da-da. Yeah, yeah. Which
one? The Assassin's Creed series. Yeah, this is them.
I only know Assassin's Creed because of one of the animations looking like something inappropriate.
Oh, okay. I wouldn't know anything about that.
Sure you would.
I don't think so. I don't play that many video games.
Space Ghost.
Space Ghost, Coast to Coast. I don't even watch that.
Really?
I don't watch a lot of anything that is like a serialized cartoon show, unless it's like Legend of Korra or something related to DC. I generally don't have time to do that.
Yeah.
Because my days are basically, I get up in the morning, get the kids to school, come home, sit down until at least noon working on Major Spoiler stuff. While listening to podcasts, then I go and take a quick lunch, go do some things like I had to go get my driver's license renewed today, come back, work on Major Spoilers again, go get the kids, either watch a movie for Zach on film, watch a cartoon for a review, read a comic for a review, and then sit down and do podcasts and more site stuff all night long. So that's my day.
All night long. Well, and in your defense, you live in a small town where there's nothing to do.
Nothing to do. Although, and I know it's also somewhat controversial.
Oh,
we had a Hobby Lobby just open up.
I saw that. It was right behind my motel.
Yeah, it's at the where the old Walmart used to be.
Yep.
It's French, actually.
It's Obey Lobe.
Yeah, yeah. And I know people are somewhat miffed at Hobby Lobby right now. Right. And I haven't been there in about 2 months or so. But I just saw somebody do something with their 3D printer and do a silicon mold casting off of it.
Really?
And I think I'm going to go venture into Hobby Lobby to see if they have silicon mold supplies. And then I'm going to see about casting some stuff off of some of the 3D prints that I've been doing here. And even those, I haven't done a 3D print in like 2 or 3 weeks. I need to get going on those again. So
I need you to print me a Vincent from the Black Hole.
Let me see. Let me see if they've even got one. Let's go over to. Here's a good place if you want to go see some 3D printing. Yegi, Y-E-G-G-I.
Yegi Azalea, the rapper?
Yes, that's exactly who I'm talking about.
Y-E-G-G-Y. Who dat? Gonna do that? Do that.
Oh, is that who that is? Okay. I hear that song and I'm like, and I don't even know.
Yeah. She's a little Swedish racist.
what does that mean?
Likes to rap. It means that if you follow her Twitter feed, she says terrible things about people of all races, creeds, colors, and orientations. Oh. She's a little Swedish racist.
Oh, I didn't hear you say she's a little. I heard that she's Swedish racist, and I was like, what's a Swedish racist?
It's a racist from Sweden, dude.
Yeah. I'm not seeing anything that popped up on for Black Hole.
Oh, it'll come
on there, but over it's on just, now Yegi is kind of like a. It points you to all of the 3D sites and all the models that are currently on the 3D sites. Thingiverse, which is where things are made specifically for the MakerBot. Mm-hmm. Somebody from Disney is on there, and he has been posting little Disney model stuff of things that they use at the Imagineering Studios area. So you can go and you can print out a little Walt Disney with Mickey statue. You can go and print out the Sleeping Beauty's castle, a bunch of those kinds of things. I don't think he did a Tron light cycle a few weeks ago, but I have not seen anything related to the Black Hole. Let me go over to Thingiverse really quick and see if they've got anything. Black Hole. Nope. Let me just do a search for Vincent. I'm seeing how many Vincent Van Gogh things pop up. Yep, Vincent Van Gogh. I don't see any robots, Matthew. Sorry. What's the good get the good version of Vincent? I'm thinking old Bob.
Yeah. Maximilian will probably show up.
No, probably not if Vincent's not in there. Give it time. I'm sure that Disney guy, and if you want to go over to Thingiverse, look for his name. His name is
that Disney guy.
No. It is WED Imagineer. WED Imagineer, so like Wednesday Imagineer, and you can go and see what he's done. He's got the Disney castle up there, Fantasyland trash can plaque. He's got this one full size model of Lumiere from Beauty and the Beast you can actually put real tea candles in his holders.
That would be cool.
I am thinking I've got that one saved to print out.
I would not mind having an actual candlestick of Lumiere.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool, and I've seen this thing painted up, and I think I could do that pretty easily. So yeah, it's on my list of things to print. Yeah, it looks pretty cool. Anyway, that's enough about 3D talking. Anything else going on in your world, Matthew?
Hajizadeh is pronounced exactly the way it looks.
Well, when you first thought it, I just thought, is he talking about Johnny Quest again? Is he going off about that?
Da 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 da.
And with that, ladies and gentlemen, we wrap it up another week of Dueling Reviews. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing this episode with a friend. If you're buying something for back to school or just for whatever that you're buying and you're going to go through Amazon.com, please go over to Majorspoilers.com, click on that Amazon banner and buy away. Every little bit helps out because a little bit comes back our way and allows us to continue to find shows like these over at the Major Spoilers Podcast Network. And just a quick thank you to all the Major Spoilers VIPs who have made this show possible for free for you online. If you want to become a Major Spoilers VIP, just point your browser to members.majorspoilers.com. And we will see you next time. Thanks. Bye.
Major Spoilers is copyright 2014.
Grand Canyon University's RN to BSN online degree program makes earning your bachelor's in nursing possible. Balance online coursework with local in-person clinicals to position yourself for potential leadership opportunities in the time you have from wherever you are, leaving room for what matters. Achieve your goals with your personalized plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
So, you've got an idea for a business. The store of your dreams. There's just one thing to figure out. Everything. That's why Shopify's all-in-one commerce platform makes it easy to sell online, in person, and everywhere else. Sell on social media, source products with an app to get that first sale feeling. It's the only solution that gives you everything you need to sell everywhere you want. So when you're ready to bring your idea to life, power it up with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/listen,